Opening your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning to Romans, the third chapter. And I'm starting a series called Seven Fundamentals of the Faith. And each week we'll take up a subject. And today we're going to talk about why, at the end of a service, do I give an invitation for people to accept Jesus as Savior. Now, many of you are sitting out there and your eyes just roll back in your head. You just went glassy on me because you're saying, I don't need to hear about the new birth. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard me or some other minister teach on something you've heard about for years and God reveals something to you that you'd never seen before? Well, keep your eyes open. That's the God we serve. I've been in services before where I've heard somebody speaking on something. I think, I've heard this before. I'm still taking notes, and suddenly they'll say something, and for the next 20 minutes, I don't hear a thing they're saying. My mind is racing. I'm writing down scriptures. I'm flipping through my Bible, and 20 minutes later, I realize I've missed 20 minutes of the sermon. Well, listen, if that happens to you this morning, you're perfectly excused to do that. Go right ahead. You just have to buy a CD as soon as church is over to find out what you missed. So, this is the God we serve. And many of the great things God has shown me is because I purposed in my heart that my ears would hear. Even though I knew about this subject, I would hear something I had never heard before. Why has God placed us in the earth? It's twofold. The Great Commission is why God has left us here. Number one, God has called us to be here in this earth and receive Jesus. That's why we are here. The question for all mankind today, no matter where you go, is why am I here? What am I in this earth for? You know, evolution teaches there is no reason why you're here. You just happen to be, you know, a big speck on this earth or a little speck on this earth. It just happened to be here, and there's no reason, no rhyme to it. There's no reason why you're here. You're just here. You're occupying space for a little while, and then after this, you're going to be gone. And when you die, there's no, you know, place to go. You're just lost. Is that rain? Wow. Okay. Emphasis. God is sending emphasis on the sermon. Okay, little thunder God. Okay, at the right point, it will come. So, anyway, you know, evolution teaches we're just here, and it's just by chance that we are here. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going, because after you die, there's just nothing. Well, I'm here to tell you that is not the truth. You're here for a purpose. You're on this in this earth for a purpose. Much of your life is coordinated by God. Now, not every moment. There's certain things in your life that are coordinated by God. And if you're here today and you haven't received Jesus, you are here because God set this thing up for you to hear the message of why you're here in this earth today. And also to inform us that people we run into each and every day, there's divine appointments that we cross their path. Divine appointments that they cross our path to let them know why they are in this earth. Because you don't have to be from some foreign country to wonder why you're in this earth. You don't have to be from outside of Oklahoma or Tulsa to realize, why am I in this earth? People are wondering it everywhere. What is the purpose of life? You are here for an extended period of time. I mean, you might die at 25 or 50 or 75 or 100, but you're here for 25, 50, 75 or 100 years for a purpose. And that purpose is to find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But that's not all. That's the first part of the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that is saved, he that believes is saved. He that believes not is damned. But there's a second part to the Great Commission. And the second part is to make disciples of all nations. Now, if the only purpose for you being in this earth was just to find Jesus as Savior, He'd pull you out as soon as you received Him. But He kept you here to become a disciple, so disciples go out and win others to the Lord. New converts are to learn the Word of God. Once you learn it, go out and lead others to the Lord Jesus, for that is the purpose of why you're here. I trust this morning a new fire will be lit under you. Is the reason why I am in this earth is not just to come to church, go out into life and enjoy it, not just to go out and eat, not just to see what possessions I can get, knowing I'm on my way to heaven. The most important reason you're in this earth is to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has called you to do that. For the purpose of life is to find Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, here's the other point, because after you die, you can't receive Him. I know there's people today that say, well, we think after you die, you still have another chance to receive Jesus. No, you don't. It's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. Jesus said to Mary at the tomb of Lazarus, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he were dead, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. You can only receive Jesus while you're alive. After that, it's too late. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You know, people often say, well, I think it's too late for me to receive Jesus. Are you still alive? You can receive Jesus. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Look with me at this verse of Scripture, Romans 3:23. And some things we're going to discuss in this chapter and also this lesson today, this sermon today, is that we need to be bold, especially in the day we're living in. Because I have never in my life seen so much pressure as there is today against Christians to be tolerant of other religions. And across our nation, people are saying we cannot discriminate of one belief over another. Well, yes, they are. They're discriminating against Christians and for everybody else. You ever notice the Bible talks about in the last days there will be many antichrists? Not many Allahs. Antichrists. The world is against Jesus. That's the main message the world is giving today. And when you stand up and say, well, hey, you're treating this religion, they don't care how they treat other religions. They'll give them breaks, but not Christians. They're trying to come against us. And we as Christians need to stand up and declare, God is right. The word is true. And Jesus Christ is the means or the way of salvation. We'll take that up. Again, I pointed out to you, but I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Ministers who are bold in their pulpit, but they've been brought before the world and they're not as bold to talk about Jesus in front of the world. Now, I understand we need to have wisdom, but we need to be just as bold to talk about Jesus out in the world as we are to talk about him in church around other Christians. I get upset when ministers who stand their pulpit and will preach Jesus Christ is the way of salvation, and they suddenly end up on Larry King, and he asks him, are you saying that other religions don't have a way to Jesus, to God, that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation? I just am so excited when once in a while one will say, yes. The Bible says he's the only way to salvation. I believe the God who created us is the one who can show us the proper way to come to him. And so we'll talk about that there is one means of salvation, and again, his name is Jesus Christ. But here's the problem, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the problem with the entire human race, for all have sinned. My translation says, fall short of the glory of God. Your King James says that we come short of the glory of God. For how many have sinned?
All.
Can anybody tell me what all means?
All.
Does that mean men and women?
Yes.
Young and old?
Yes.
Black and white?
Yes.
Any color? Any nationality, educated, uneducated, moral, immoral, all means all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, the word sin in the Greek is the Greek word hamartia. And the Greek word simply means to miss the mark. It simply means to miss the mark. You see, the only mark that God has is the middle of the bullseye. And no one has ever hit it except Jesus. Every person keeps missing it. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how moral you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how kind to other people you are. No one hits the mark. Only Jesus hits the mark. And this verse says, for all have missed the mark. And by missing the mark, we come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? I can tell you this. The glory of God is his absolute perfectness. The glory of God is his absolute righteousness, his perfect holiness. What am I saying? The only way to heaven is to be as perfect as God. No wonder everybody misses the mark. No wonder everybody falls short. Well, immediately, just, you know, inside of you, some of you are gasping for air going, then I could never get to heaven because I can't be as good as God. Well, here's the good news. Somebody came to earth who was God, and he will escort you into heaven. The means of eternal life is through Jesus Christ, not of yourself. For all, say all, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I ask you a question. Think about this. For all have sinned. Is that past, present, or future tense? Past tense. Some of you are rolling your eyes going, it's past tense. For all have sinned. Listen, and come short, fall short of the glory of God. Is that past, present, or future tense? Present tense. For all have sinned and are coming short of the glory of God. Folks, you are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. All have sinned in the past and presently are coming short of the glory of God. Why do people miss it every day? Because somewhere back there, all have sinned. All means all means those who have lived and died, those who are presently alive at the moment, and those who have not even been born yet. All have sinned. When did all sin? When Adam sinned, sin passed upon all people, past, present, future. Everyone in Adam died that day when Adam fell in the garden. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The reason why all presently sin today, all miss the mark, is because somewhere back there when Adam fell, all have sinned and therefore present tense are coming short of the glory of God. Now, here's the point. Now, you may not like this, but you'll like the answer to it. You'll like the outcome of it. None of us could help being born in Adam. You had no choice. You had no choice of being born in Adam. Anybody born on this earth is born in Adam. So you had no choice about it. The devil didn't ask you. Adam didn't ask you. When Adam and Eve entered into that sin by the devil's temptation, they passed a curse on all mankind. From that time on, anybody born in this earth of man and woman would be born with a curse. But here is the good news. Even though you had no choice of being in Adam, you have a choice to get out of him. For as in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. And the good news is, right now, even though you couldn't help it, you couldn't help being born in Adam, the good news is you have a choice today to get out of him, and in Christ you will be made alive. In other words, it comes down to this. Mankind today thinks by his outward works he can change his inward nature. Folks, salvation doesn't work from the outside in. It works from the inside out. And the reason why your actions are the way they are is because your nature is the way that it is. And if you'll accept Jesus, he'll change your nature. And the good news is your outward actions will simply start falling in line. It's so good. It's just so simple. The way that God has ordained it. For all have sinned in the past and presently are coming short of the glory of God. I like to translate this way. For all have sinned in Adam and are presently falling short of the glory of God. You cannot quit sinning and no longer be a sinner. That's not the way it works. You don't become a sinner by sinning. You sin because of the sin nature on the inside of you, the fallen nature from Adam. And therefore, what God is simply telling you, your nature must be changed. Turn with me to John the third chapter, John chapter 3, and let's take up a look at this particular story. John the third chapter, here we have a man who came to Jesus that was taken completely up by his works. He was trying to work his way into heaven. If I could just simply take Christianity on one side, and all religion on the other side, and just tell you the simple difference between the two, it is this. I don't care if it's Islam. I don't care if it's other religions around the world. I don't care if it's Buddhism, Confucianism. I don't care what it is, if it's from Africa, South America, or the United States. If it's New Age, I don't care what it is. You can lump all religions over here together and put Christianity on the other side. What is the main difference between the two? In religion, man offers his works to God, and he can do good works and bad works. All he hopes is when he stands before God, his good works will outweigh his bad works. And I have something disheartening to tell you. God not only hates sin, he despises your good works. In fact, the Bible says they stink in his nostrils. So, your good works and bad works have nothing to do with you going to heaven or going to hell. Now, in Christianity, the good news is, it's not my works that do it. Jesus Christ went to the cross and he took that nature that's within me. He took the fallen curse of Adam and he took it to the cross, and there he completely dismissed it, got rid of it. And today, as far as Jesus is concerned, salvation is a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. In religion, man does all the work. He gives it to God, hoping God will take it. In Christianity, God did all the work. He holds it out to you, and you take it. It's so simple. It's so simple. It's called the gift of righteousness, the gift of eternal life. And all you have to do with a gift is just reach out and take it. Christmas is coming up. In fact, many kids are already telling us what they want to take from us, what they want to receive from us. I want this Wii game. I want this, you know, I want this, I want that. And they have all these things they want. And they know, especially coming to Grandma and Grandpa, they'll get it. They'll get it. Because Grandma and Grandpa understand grace. We work, we do it, we hand it to you. You just take it from us. We understand grace. But you say your grandkids haven't been real good this year. You know what? My gift to them isn't based on how they've acted this year. It's based on my nature, not their nature. God hands salvation. So we go, but I've been so bad. God said, I didn't give it to you based on your nature. I give it to you based on my nature. And my nature is to give. My nature is love, for God so loved the world. And therefore, again, we come to God and we receive from Him. As many as received Him, John tells us, to them He gave the power to become children of God. John, the third chapter, look at verse 1. Here we have a Pharisee. Here we have a ruler of the Pharisees, a man completely possessed by good works trying to get to heaven. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that you do unless God is with him. You might as well underline that phrase. You know what he was doing? Buttering up Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. And he was wanting to slip in something. And how do you know you can't butter up Jesus? Yeah. How do you know you can't slip one over on Jesus? He can see it coming a mile away. And I love this next phrase. Jesus just interrupts him and goes right to the point. It says, Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Boy, did that let the air out of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was going to come and offer all of his good works and say, hey, I've got all these good works, much like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and told him all the good things he was doing and said, is there anything I lack yet? And Jesus said, yes. Well, Jesus doesn't wait for this argument. He just goes right to the point and says, you must be born again. Now, perhaps today, the new birth or being born again to you seems like a pipe dream. It's like one of those things that's too good to be true. For you've often said in your life, man, I have messed up things so bad. My life is such a mess. I wish I could go back and start all over again, knowing today what I know. I wish I could start over again, but knowing the things I know today. Well, the good news is you can. And it starts by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you can accept Him knowing the mistakes you've made, the failure you've made, you can accept Him and He will change your life completely. There is a new way to start all over again. And Jesus tells this man who is probably rather old, because you don't rise this high in the Pharisees, become a ruler without being somewhere in upper age range. And it goes on to say in verse 4, Nicodemus said to Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Jesus completely blindsided him. He wasn't ready for this. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now there's been much controversy over what is the water and what is the Spirit. I believe Jesus answered in the next phrase, because he goes on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the natural birth. That which is born of spirit is spirit. I believe the water is speaking of the fact that you're inside your mother's womb. You're born inside that embryonic fluid. And one day you're born. And, one day, as your mom said one day, my water broke. And the child is born after that. He's simply saying you have to be physically born first, and then there comes a second birth, because he simply says that which is born from the flesh is flesh. That which is born from the Spirit, capital S, is small s, human spirit. He's simply saying a law that was declared in Genesis, everything produces after its own kind. Your first birth came from people, and people produce people. But your second birth came from God, who is a spirit, and spirit produces spirit. He simply says, if you've been born of the water, that's the first birth, that's fine, but you have to be born of the Spirit. I'm not talking about crawling back into your mother's womb, because that birth is complete. That birth has been done. I'm talking about this time being born of God, and God births the inside part of you, because God is not a man, he is not flesh, God is a spirit, and the part of you that's born from God, and that is the spirit. There's your problem. It's the inward man that needs to be changed. Salvation doesn't work from the outside in. Salvation begins on the inside and works itself to the outside. That's what the new birth is. So Jesus told him again, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus said, I'm explaining things to you that you can't see. You know they're out there. Spiritual birth is out there. You can't see it with your eyes. You can't hear it with your ears. It's in a spirit world. And I'm simply saying to you today, if you try to understand the new birth with your natural mind, you'll never get it. Just accept it, because if God says it's real, then it's real, whether your mind can comprehend it or not. How many can admit to me today that when you received Jesus, you didn't understand much about the new birth? You just took it anyway. That's how it comes. That is simple faith. That is simple, simple faith. And that's what God is telling us today. That's what God is telling you today, who might be here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Nicodemus was religious. He was caught up in good works, but works cannot save you. The Word of God declares this. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us in verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. There's your contrast. It is a gift from God to be received, not because of your works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says that he has saved us, not by works which we have done, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy or grace, he saved us. And Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, we have all become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Whoa. All of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to make it so simple you can't miss it. Look with me at verse 20. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. For when you were servants or slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That word free simply means separated from. When I was a sinner, I was separated from righteousness. When I was a slave to sin in Satan's kingdom, I was separated from righteousness. It was cut off from me. It's simply saying in that verse of scripture again, it says we were slaves to sin, we were free, or we were cut off, or we were separated in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Look at verse 22. I want to contrast verse 20 with verse 22. Look at verse 20 again. When you were servants or slaves of sin, you were free or separated in regards to righteousness. Look at verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become servants of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Look at me. Look for just a moment. When I was a sinner, I was separated from righteousness. All my good works could not attain righteousness for me. I worked and worked and worked as a slave, as a servant of sin. But no matter how much good works I did, my good works could not produce and make me righteous. Now that I am a Christian, I am separated from unrighteousness. Completely separated from unrighteousness. And listen, as a sinner, my good deeds could not make me righteous. As a Christian, my sin cannot make me unrighteous. As a sinner, my good deeds couldn't save me. As a sinner, my bad deeds can't unsave me, because works have nothing to do with the kingdom of God as to righteousness or unrighteousness. Does he want us to work for him? Of course he does. But he wants it to come from a source of righteousness within me, and realize one day in heaven I will be rewarded for my good works. But my good works do not send me to heaven. Jesus sends me to heaven, and his righteousness has been given to me. Whoa! So those of you here who have never accepted Jesus, who think one day you'll stand before God and try to offer your good works and your good works can't save you. And for those of you that have now been saved and you have not lived up to the standard that you should have, and you're condemned in your own heart, get over the condemnation, ask the Lord to forgive you, because your bad deeds can't separate you from the righteousness that God has placed on the inside. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Look with me at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I not only possess eternal life, but I am under obligation, under a debt, to take that message to the world, to those who need Jesus. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 14. Paul says, I am under obligation. The King James says, I have a debt, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Amplified in this next phrase, by the wise and the unwise. The Greeks are the wise, and the barbarians are the foolish or the unwise. He says in verse 15, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not embarrassed of the gospel. I'm not afraid to stand up and tell people about the gospel. I wish this phrase could just be interjected into your heart so that you would quit being embarrassed of being a Christian, ashamed of being a Christian. Stand up and let the world know that you are a Christian, because I can tell you, the longer they're around you, they're going to be ashamed they're a sinner, ashamed they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm not asking you to beat it into them. I'm not asking you to stand up and be obnoxious to the world. I'm just simply standing here telling you, stand up to the world and say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm the happiest person on the face of the earth. I am so complete, so happy. Because they think you're dumb. They think you're stupid. But you know what? When you've found the way, you're happy. You know what? As a Christian, you know, the world's out there, and the world just needs all these crutches to be happy. Drugs, illicit sex. Or if they don't have that, they just pour themselves into sports or in some kind of work or something. You know what? I enjoy sports too, but when I go bowling with you, if I gutter every ball, I'm still the happiest person on the face of the earth. If you ask me to play tennis with you and I knock it outside the court every single time, you got to go running outside the fence to catch it. You know what? I'm still having the time of my life, because it doesn't take tennis to make me happy. Jesus has made me happy. I don't need the world's crutches. Therefore, I can truly enjoy the world. I can enjoy being alive. I can enjoy my money, because the Bible says he gave us richly all things to enjoy. And the way I enjoy it is by making Jesus Christ number one in my life. He went to the cross making me number one. So he now says again that verse of scripture, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone. Say everyone. That's the same as all. The all who have sinned now can believe in Jesus. And it says to everyone, or all who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I ask you a question. Is the gospel for all people?
Yes.
Is it for everyone who believes?
Yes.
All nations?
Yes.
All colors?
Yes.
How about to men and women?
Yes.
Is the gospel for the old and the young?
Yes.
Is the gospel for the educated and the uneducated? Is the gospel for the religious and non-religious?
Yes.
You see, there are excuses people often give. I'm too old. I've just lived my life out. And you know what? I've just made too many mistakes. I just don't think that I can ever get saved. Again, I ask you a question. Are you still alive? You know what? If you died in 1 minute, you still have 1 minute to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. The thief on the cross did. You know what? We often come to thief on the cross. You know what he was? He was the gangster on the cross. Read his background. They didn't just put thieves on the cross. They put the worst criminals on the cross. He was probably part of some mafia organization that had hurt so many people. And they hung him on the cross, two of them. One accepted, one rejected. But the one that accepted in the last closing seconds of his life, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Some people say, well, I'm just too young. You know what? I haven't sowed my wild oats yet. Give me a few years to get all this out of my system, then I'll accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I trust you're still alive. after that long a period of time to accept Jesus. And on top of that, again, if you're waiting to sow all your wild oats and have a good time right now, you don't have any idea what a good time is until you get born again. Follow after Jesus. That is what a good time is all about. Say, yeah, but you know, I just am so dumb. I'm not smart enough to receive Jesus. It's for anybody, smart or not smart. Somebody might say, yeah, but you know, I'm not ready. I just don't want to do it today. Listen, I'll do it some other time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Well, I've been too bad. There's just been so many bad things in my life, I don't think God could ever forgive me. You know what? There's only one sin God can't forgive you of. Just one. Jesus went to the cross and died for every sin except one. And that's rejection of himself. Any other sin God can forgive you of. And the point of it is, Jesus judged all sin on the cross except for one. He leaves that one sin up to you to judge. And when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, all your sins are forgiven, wiped away, washed away, clean out of your life. Again, you might say, yeah, but I'm just too bad. Some of you might be saying, you know what? I've been good. It's not that I've been bad. I've been good. I've been real moral. I've been kind. I help people. Surely heaven's going to open up for me. No, it won't. Your righteousnesses before God are as filthy rags. So too young, too old, too religious, not religious. I'm this color, I'm that color, I'm educated, not educated. It really doesn't matter. Take a look at the screens.
I was saved when I was 9.
I was saved when I was 37 years old.
I was saved when I was 10 years old.
When I was 9 years old.
When I was 26.
At the Boston Avenue Methodist Church, as a result of going, meeting an altar call.
Praying in my living room with my husband.
Driving in a car at age 25 after reading the Gospel of John.
At the age of 19, sitting on a bench in a community college in Cupertino, California.
When I was 5 years old at Vacation Bible School.
And at my home in Ohio.
In a church at age 33.
April 2nd, 1978.
At the age of 5, while I was listening to a record that was playing Amazing Grace.
At the age of 8 years old in Children's Church at Grace.
And when I was 25 years old in my bedroom.
I don't ever remember not being saved. I grew up knowing Jesus, and I think I've known him all my life.
Yeah. Loretta has that same testimony. People have asked her, when were you saved? She says, I really don't remember. I've just trusted Jesus all my life. I'm sure there was a time when she was saved, but you know what? She was so young, she just can't remember it. I was saved when I was 5 years old at a Vacation Bible School, filled with the Holy Spirit 2 years later. You know, you might have been saved watching Oral Roberts on TV or Billy Graham on TV or listening to a radio broadcast. You might have been saved at 8 years old, 10 years old, 40 years old, 90 years old. But you know what? Thank God you received Jesus somewhere back there. It might have been across a lunch table. It could have been at a church service. It could have been standing on a street corner as somebody led you to the Lord. It could have been at the office as somebody across the desk from you had you repeat a sinner's prayer and you gave your life to Jesus Christ. So the good news is Jesus Christ died for everybody. When Loretta and I were in England just a few weeks ago, I opened it up and I was there with Andrew, so my turn came to speak. So Andrew and I both were up there, and I taught a little bit and then turned it open to questions. It's always interesting with questions to find out where people are. And one lady stood up and asked this question. My husband's a pastor. My dad, I've been witnessing to my father for some time, and he just asked a question the other day that I didn't know. She said, he asked this question, will Adolf Hitler be in heaven? And I figured her family must be Jewish. That's all I knew being in Europe. And so she said, well, Adolf Hitler, she said, because my father said, if Adolf Hitler's going to be there, I don't want to go to heaven. And so Andrew responded and said, well, I don't know. He said, you know, I don't think he is in heaven. I don't think he gave his life to Jesus. By his life and by his actions and stuff and by the books I've read about him, I don't think he did. And my response was, but what if you do get to heaven and he is there? What if in his closing breath he accepted Jesus as Savior? What a monument to the grace of God. That if he could forgive Adolf Hitler, he can surely forgive you. And by the same way, he saved thieves on the cross. He saved nice people. He saved evil people. Because it comes back to this, your goodness or your badness is not what keeps you out of heaven. It's one thing, those names not found written in the book of life, were cast into the lake of fire. It all comes down to one simple thing, and that's by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. His grace is extended to us apart from our good works, apart from the performance that we have. God's grace will save the moral person who has done little sin, and God will save the immoral person who has done very little as far as good is concerned. So we come back to it again today. What about the means of salvation? Again, it comes down to this. There is no other way. This is the way God made it. You know what? Sometimes I believe in our society that we live in today, you can agree with me or disagree with me, but I believe we have given small children too many choices. I believe kids are confused anymore. We offer choices to them. You know, we sit in front of a year and a half kid and say, well, this is what you're doing wrong. You should choose this way. They don't understand. Mom and dad need to tell a year and a half old, this is the right way. Walk in it. Later on, as they get older, they can start making their choices. And God hasn't come to this world and given us this huge variety of choices and say, just pick one, anyone. And that's why the world is so confused. I serve a heavenly Father that came to me and said, this is the way. This is the means of eternal life. Accept Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ even said it himself, I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's said in the book of Acts, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we bless you today.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Bob Yandian. If you would like to learn more about Bob Yandian or to view a product list, visit our website at bobyandian.com. Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we hope you will consider paying it forward and becoming a partner with Pastor Bob. For more information, visit bobyandian.com.